Hello, this is Siren 107.3, and this is Parsec.
Strange and wondrously spooky. Yes, the voice
they've
of
said
Dave
that about me,
which
very many times.
Opens up a whole new area. Volume 4, they said we never kept past the first trilogy, but we have. We've made it to Volume 4 of Parsec.
Is this and a prequel or the sequel?
It's a sequel to Volume 3 and a prequel to Volume 5.
Absolutely.
And keeping the wonderfulness going, obviously following through from last edition's Paul Terry feature, we have a gentleman from the superlative world of future publications, the legendary world's best-selling SFX magazine and premier SFX magazine. It would be Richard Edwards. How are you, Richard?
I'm very good, thanks.
Brilliant stuff. And for once, we're actually ISDN connected, hooray. Which, for the benefit of the uninitiated, is something which we managed to work through in a digital world to a digital age, and it provides it as though you're with us in the studio. You're not in Bath. You're actually here in Lincoln, at the home of Siren 107.3 FM's Parsec Scenario. So great stuff. Anyway, moving on. Your role, of course, Richard, is deputy editor of SFX magazine. It's gone ex-mutant crazy in recent months, etc. We're just approaching that wonderful excitement of a glorious summer of sci-fi, aren't we?
Oh yeah, it's a big year. X-Men: Days of Future Past is out tomorrow, which is very good. I mean, I've seen it. It's a very good film.
Or last Thursday, if you're listening to this on Parsec Sunday slot, it's okay. It's a pre-record. It's time travel. Don't worry, Richard. It's all good.
Well, yeah, exactly. And Godzilla is already out and will still be out on Sunday, and that's done fantastic business. I mean, that's already been sort of fast track for a sequel. So you know, we've got some big movies this year. As you do every year, I guess.
Of course, but you know, there's a special sort of SF theme thing going from that point of view. Now, Dave, are you familiar with SFX the magazine?
I've read it a couple of times. Yes, I have. I am very. I'm not, you know, as well versed as Doctor Who magazine, I have to say. But yeah, I've read SFX a couple of times. It's I like it. I should read it more, shouldn't I?
You should subscribe.
Yeah. Well, I'm only allowed one subscription, so my wife says, and that's to Doctor Who. So sadly,
I don't know. I mean, I think it's.
I don't think it's grounds for divorce just yet.
SFX is the magazine Doctor Who fans go to when they grow up. I didn't say that. It's just a thought. I wouldn't use it in the marketing material area. Richard, I'm actually looking back at a recent edition of SFX, of course, which was 247, and we'll come to the 250 excitement and extravaganza shortly, but. If I can quote from your good self in the buzz, it's like Star Wars with extra funny. Star-Lord, Stark, spaceship, spectacle, what's not to like about this quirky space opera? You're, of course, talking about Guardians of the Galaxy. So is this is just on the trailer. Have you actually managed to see the thing in full as yet?
No, not yet. I've seen a couple of trailers. I saw a bit at Comic-Con last year.
Yep.
I think it looks fantastic. I mean, the first trailer certainly had this real sort of fun vibe to it. I mean, it's got... I mean, the Marvel Universe, the cinematic universe, they really seem to know what they're doing now. I mean, since they've made The Avengers, you've had Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and they've all been very different movies, but they've all had this confidence to them, and they've all fit in this sort of one universe. And you know, you really get a sense of guys who really know what they're doing. And you know, they've come to Guardians of the Galaxy, which is not a particularly well-known comic, but they've obviously got the confidence in it. And you know, with Star Wars coming up, I think space opera is going to be becoming more and more popular. And then they've kind of put this sort of spin on it. It looks fun. You've got Chris Pratt out of Parks and Recreation, who's great. You've got Zoe Saldana, who's in Star Trek and Avatar. You know, it's got a good cast. Looks like it's going to have a lot of action, a lot of fun. So I think it could be amazing. And I don't think it matters really that people haven't seen it. You know, don't know the comic.
And don't forget, of course, Karen Gillan, of course, as
of
Nebula.
Course. Yeah. Yes, as we've never seen before.
Doctor Who connection for you, Dave.
Thank you. But she's bald. My word.
And blue.
And blue. Bald and blue. How, you know, she's her very own Dorian, isn't she?
Yes, but without the antenna, yeah.
Exactly.
Now that's geeky, yeah.
That's the sort of name of this particular game in many ways, Rich. It's a whole new world of that. But yeah, I think Guardians of the Galaxy very much getting a thumbs up from that perspective. The X scenario continues. It's interesting when I caught the Amazing Spider-Man, not literally, of course, I don't have the web strength for him.
Oh.
But in terms of that they adopted, even from the Sony routine, the wait until the very end and you'll get a little snippet of excitement, because there was a little X clip on there as well.
Yeah, that's very clever. I mean, because obviously Marvel now, you know, the Avengers is the third biggest film of all time, the biggest film not made by James Cameron. And you've got Fox, who own X-Men and Fantastic Four, and Sony, who own Spider-Man. And I think by them teaming up to sort of promote each other, it's just saying, look, we're big too. We've got lots of superheroes as well. So I think it was a very, very canny move.
Certainly opens up a whole range of things. Of course, science fiction encompasses more than just superheroes. It encompasses
does.
Literature and a variety of other things as well. Although I must say that if we're looking at the excitement of the SFX thing, it is pretty... I mean, I don't know, Dave, are you excited by superheroes? Or is it a case of, no, you stick with Doctor Who regardless?
I'm firmly with Doctor Who in the Doctor Who camp and Red Dwarf, Star Wars, Star Trek. Superheroes don't really flatter me much. I'm not really excited. My boy is... dresses up as Spider-Man, little Peter, dresses up as Spider-Man rigorously and scares me half to death when he wakes me up in the middle of the night with his Spider-Man mask on. I must say that has put me off that. But he's more into the superhero sort of side. I did have an interesting conversation with my children recently, watching trailers and the like, with respect to some of the kids' films that have been out, or could say adult films as well. The genre with my daughter, she's 8, and she said to me that she's firmly in the fact that Frozen is a science fiction movie, Lego Movie is a science fiction movie, and Postman Pat the movie is definitely a science fiction movie, Daddy, because it has Doctor Who as the creator of evil robots that try to get Postman Pat. So my kids are very attuned to science fiction, but not in the sort of traditional sense.
Of course, you know, for their birthdays you could give them subscriptions to SFX magazine.
I could do. I could, and I probably will.
Well, yes.
I probably will. But I just thought it was quite interesting. I just obviously that's the voice of my children, Richard, and you as the the deputy editor of the SFX magazine. You're interesting. What you think your take would be on the fact that are my children slightly deranged, or is their interpretation of science fiction?
Is it good education, Richard? Is it good education?
Is their interpretation of science fiction quite interesting with respect to the broad brush that they've given it?
I think they're correct. I mean, I think Frozen is definitely fantasy. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt that superhero movies are science fiction. Mm-hmm. And Postman Pat, though it... I mean, I hate to say it. This is not the Postman Pat I grew up with.
No.
I mean, I can't remember robots, killer robots in Greendale.
No.
You know, or delivering on a Sunday.
No.
But, you know, it's definitely science fiction. The thing is, you know, science fiction sells now. And I think it's kind of come, whereas perhaps even when Star Wars came out, it was kind of a niche thing. Even though Star Wars was a sort of behemoth that conquered everything, certainly in the last decade, it's become much more mainstream. And I think because you've got people like J.J. Abrams, who were the guys who grew up on this, they're actually making the films now. They control what we watch, so it's become, and they kind of really know what they're doing. And now even, I hate to use the word, but serious, you know, critics, filmgoers, it's kind of part of their lives now. So everybody kind of watches a bit of sci-fi, even if they don't think they like it. You know, a lot of people will tell you, oh, no, I don't like sci-fi. But then you ask them the films they watch, and they do. And the funny thing is, if you look at the top 50 films of all time at the box office, I think something like 45 of them are sci-fi or fantasy. You know, it's that big.
As always, sfx.co.uk is a go-to website for various news, and I see in terms of the Doctor Who scenarios, we have two new writers, new to Who, Peter Harness from Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, Wallander, and indeed Frankie Howard, rather you than me, and Jamie Matheson, who has obviously written for Being Human and frequently asked questions about time travel. I did like the line that Peter Harness has actually said on his Facebook page that he thinks his episode might make people go, WTF, what the flip? Obviously, there's another line there. Does that panic you in any way, Dave?
I have been asking for new writers to get into Doctor Who for quite a long time, because my main concern with the previous few series of Doctor Who, since The Moth sort of took over.
The Moth,
as he's known in the industry, apparently. since The Moth took over, I do apologise.
Do you, Richard, when you phone up the BBC, I'd like to speak to The Moth?
I'm sure we'd get through.
It would do. Yeah, and that's the thing. Since he took over, I have thought that he had too few people involved, and it was getting to a narrative where it is almost a little backslappy. And I'm hoping he did. He's now doing what Andrew Cartmell did in his years when it started to grow up a little bit and become a better show, and that is going out to the industry and getting newer writers that have probably not written for the genre before, and to bring new ideas in. And especially Doctor Who, I think, works best often when it brings a science fiction element to social commentary about what's going on in the world at the time.
A bit like Star Trek,
though. A bit like Star Trek, yeah, absolutely. And I think if you've got too much complicated, and it's a local, an evening I went to with Peter Davison recently, he said
he's going to drop in a few names now,
science fiction, he said in his talk, science fiction has to be complicated enough for the children to keep the children interested, and simple enough for the adults to understand.
He was saying that back in 2005,
actually. He was, yeah. But I still think that the principle the principle is there, and I think what Doctor Who did was try and become too overcomplicated for the adults, and the kids were going, what on earth is going on here? And I think it just got a little bit too much, dare I say, a little bit up itself, perhaps.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think it was certainly the last series, you had loads of things set up, and you know, this whole idea of the Doctor had faked his own death, and yeah, everyone thought he was dead. But then you sort of see him meet people and say, do you know he's dead? And you're kind of watching it and you don't know what point it's at or what's happened and what you're supposed to remember and what you're not. And I was quite disappointed by Matt Smith's last episode.
I'm glad you said that, because so was I.
I just thought that I didn't like his death, really. No. But I just didn't like the way that they brushed off these things that had been built for, you know, all of his era, and they just sort of got rid of them in a line. You know, it just felt like, what's the point of making them a big deal if you're going to sort of just throw them away like that?
It was the biggest load of exposition I have seen ever, with the fact that they could just say, oh yes, this was this, and this was that, and this was that. Sort of like, what a ridiculous... That's like introducing, you know, Captain Picard as you know, the Borg, and just saying, well, you know, I just decided not to be Borg anymore, really. Instead of the, let's put them to sleep, you know.
Drastic thoughts, but we will actually continue the resonance, a bit like Parsec, really.
But thank you, Richard. I appreciate that, because I thought I was just a lone voice.
Don't worry, you can always rely on the SFX team to support you. You know, I sent a congratulatory message to the editor. That would be Dave Bradley, of course, responsible for Richard Edwards taking on the mantle of the routine.
And, not the actor, David Bradley.
No, actually. The editor, Dave Bradley.
The two of them have met, actually.
There you
really?
Are. Yes.
Fantastic. Mr. Bradley meets.
I was
Mr.
there.
Bradley.
This sort of excuse them in the space-time continuum, yes, when they did, but
quite rightly. But 12 years he's been working for Future Publishing, so I congratulate him on LinkedIn.
Well done.
I just dropped that in there. Richard, would you be kind enough to stay with us while we take a short musical break?
Yes.
Because sure.
This has a little theme. Would you like to?
Well, yes.
Launch this one.
This one has something to do with something in the sky. So if you could play Tasman Archer first, that would be fantastic.
Really?
Please.
You want that first? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
If that's all right.
Here she is.
It's the acoustic version of it as well.
I blame you for the moonlit sky and the dream that died with the eagle's flight. I blame you for the moonlit nights when I wonder.
It was the acoustic version, the B-side imported from vinyl. There you go, from my 7-inch. That's why it's a bit slower in rhythm.
And as we said, there's no need to actually sort of get too panicky about the whole thing, but how could people actually get in touch with Parsec, Dave?
Ah, yes, at Parsec_SierraIndiaGolf, S-I-G, on the old Twitter thing.
Tell he's a Doctor Who fan, Richard. I don't know. Timey-wimey stuff and all the rest of the bits and pieces.
Oh, I hate that phrase. I really do.
Oh, I thought you might. Okay, we're lucky enough for our guest for Volume 4 of Parsec to have Deputy Editor of SFX Magazine, Richard Edwards, and as well as a whole heap of other goodies that you can get from SFX Magazine. This month, you also have a free zombie book.
Yay. Oh, hey, my little boy loves zombies.
Exactly. It's fantastic. The goodies that are actually there.
I actually buy it for him, shouldn't I?
you should, actually, because it's, it's a nice readable zombie thing, isn't it?
It's sort of more, sort of more kids and zombies. It's Darren Shan's zombie franchise. So, since when did zombies become kids' things? I don't know. It's like, it's bizarre.
He talks about Daleks, Cybermen, and zombies. So, there you go.
Do they have fresher brains or something when they're younger? I don't know.
Yeah.
it's not that kind of show, honestly. We wouldn't advocate cannibalism in any way, shape, or form. But we would actually say, Richard, are you... Well, in fact, we know you are, actually, so you've already come up with a suggestion for a text we should consider last time round, following the wonderful John Jarrell's suggestion of Neuromancer, a classic, of course.
William Still
Gibson.
Can't get through it.
I wasn't even going to ask, but it's worthwhile working through that. We took Paul Terry, who was, of course, an associate of yours way back in the day before he decided to go on and actually start co-writing and co-authoring texts with the fabulous Tara Bennett in terms of the Fringe Encyclopedia, the whole September Notebook, and Lost, etc. The recommendation from Paul was The Raw Shark Texts by Stephen Hall, which is very... It's good. It's very good. I have to say, as Audrey Niffenlinger said, inventive, funny, and extremely smart. I nearly fell off my chair with admiration. And when the author of The Time Traveller's Wife says she nearly fell off her chair with admiration, extraordinary.
A faulty gas lift, then.
But you haven't quite got through that, have you, Dave?
I've not bought it yet. Sorry, Alex. I've had a difficult month with work and everything like that, and I've been I've had to paint the fence several times.
You need to savour the joy and delight, because Richard Edwards, even though he's deputy editor, still has difficulty actually sometimes reading all the stuff. It's understandable. There's so much stuff there. But you have come up with a classic, a winner of both the Arthur C. Clarke Award at the recent Sci-Fi London, the Nebula Award, the British Science Fiction Association Award, and the Kitschy. What's the Kitschy?
That's run by Porno Kitsch, which is a very good book website. So, that's their awards. It's basically it's this year's awards hoover.
Yeah, and of course, coming up to something which we're very, very excited about, and I was speaking to Louis Savvy only this morning about, it's, of course, Worldcon, the first time in over a decade that the World Science Fiction Convention is landing in London.
Hooray!
Are you excited by that, Richard?
It is. It's very cool. I mean, it's kind of a big deal. Yeah, it's great.
Massive. You know, I've even managed to persuade our managing editor, Andrew David, to possibly actually cover costs for us to actually go down and cover it over a couple of days. It's fantastic. Anyway, life continues. So what has been your suggestion for this week's or this edition of Parsec's Reader Scenario? Is it Ancillary Justice by any chance, Richard?
It is, yes. It's by Anne Leckie, yes. And it was out, it was first published about September last year. And it's one of these things that's just been gathering buzz all the time since it's been coming out. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, yeah, have you read it? Yeah, it was big favourite for a lot of awards. And as it sort of got one award, it sort of picked up more. It's also up for a Hugo Award which is going to be at Worldcon later this year. So it's just this very... it's just this space opera that everyone's sort of really getting behind. It's very sort of Ian M. Banksy. So it's about a starship a woman who used to be a starship. If that makes sense.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, as James T. Kirk said in The Naked Time, now I know why she's called She. No beach to walk on. There is a Trek person out there who I'm sure will appreciate that whole sort of thing. So it's great stuff.
Is that the one where he body swapped and became a woman?
No, that's Turnabout Intruder. Sometimes you can't get the staff, Richard. You know,
there's so many of them.
They sort of air. No, there's 79 in the original series. That's quite mild.
Yeah, it's not like The Next Generation. I mean, Voyager. Is hard work to sit through the whole lot of.
Exactly.
Because in Voyager they had even had alternate reality episodes as well, which I find confusing sometimes. So you have to say to the wife, is this the alternate reality one? And when this, and she says, yes, it's a different timeline that they didn't explore. And I went, okay.
Well, in Voyager, they actually have one episode that they now say is not canon at all, just the one episode in Star Trek that isn't canon.
Oh, which one's that one?
You know the one where Janeway and Paris go transwarp and turn into lizards?
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, but basically the writer said, no, that doesn't count. It's just rubbish.
Well, there's always an alternate reality that could have actually happened in, although it would have been unlikely. Although there was always a certain tension, I felt, between the two characters of Janeway and Tom Paris. But we'll chase that up with one of our other guests who will be joining us on another show.
Do you think so? Do you really think so?
No.
I always thought the tension there was between her and Chakotay.
Well, he just looked like he didn't want to be there. I mean, that was.
Well, he didn't. I mean, that was Robert Beltram's approach. I mean, he only did it. I mean, bless his heart. I'm sure he'll be working. I can't knock the scenario because I'm still very excited that on the Midweek Drive coming up very shortly, not only do we have the return of Tara Bennett, but also Helen Slater is joining us, making her debut on the show. Yes, Supergirl, or indeed Kara, mother of Kal-El, is also going to be shooting the transatlantic breeze with us because she's done a wonderful recent album in which she actually narrates some of the Greek mythological legends. So it keeps the whole sort of Helen Slater thing going. So great stuff there. It's like the Where Are You Now spot, but, you know, from SFX magazine writ large. More news from the Spectre, and Leckie, of course, in terms of that ancillary justice, as you rightly said, a complexly couched space opera set several millennia hence in various interstellar venues dominated by the aggressively expanding Rajai Galactic Empire. Hopefully I got the pronunciation right.
Bless you.
In the service of which the protagonist Breck had been part of a military unit. These units normally comprise a number of brain-wiped bodies under the control of a ship mind. The protagonist, having lost her fellow corpse soldiers, is now solo, and her mind, as you rightly said, Richard, is now a fraction of the original governing AI. Yeah, which is nice. And it's nice to see that in the year in which he sadly passed on to another dimension, the work, as you said, of Ian M. Banks is also identified there. And because, I mean, it is a case. I mean, we were lucky enough to see The Time Machine on stage. It was part of the Lincoln Inspired Festival recently, Richard, a one-man show. There's so many opportunities. SciFest, of course, in Los Angeles. It's all over, isn't it, this science fiction material?
Oh, it is. I mean, as we were talking about earlier, I mean, it's sort of become a lot more mainstream now, and it's great. I mean, it's nice if it gets out of that sci-fi is getting out of a ghetto that I think a lot of people have put it in, and there's quite a snobbish attitude towards it sometimes. Oh no, I don't write science fiction, or I don't watch it. You know, now people are starting to accept that you can write a great novel in science fiction just as you can write a great crime novel or you can write a great literary novel. You know, it deserves to be considered in the same bracket because it's got some of the best ideas out there. You know, you can do anything you want in science fiction.
Well, I think, yeah, because some of the best science fiction I've read or seen on either TV or prose has been the cross-genre between policing and science fiction. Life on Mars, Ashes to Ashes, which was very fantasy, and also Paul Cornell's London's Falling, and I believe his sequel's launched this week as well.
It has. Also features a cameo from Neil Gaiman.
Superb.
We've actually got a guest blog on sfx.co.uk, Paul Cornell, on Neil Gaiman's work as well. So Neil Gaiman and the Severed Streets.
That's the one. I mean, they've also got Ben Aronovich's Rivers of London series, which is very, very popular, and that's another sort of crossover between the crime novel and the supernatural. So,
and it works extremely well.
It does.
I really enjoy that. It was one of our early book of the month scenarios, and I think so. We might well sort of be pushing to actually sort of feature Ben in the near future. Excellent writing and well put together. Who would have thought he'd emerge from the Sylvester McCoy era of Who and produce that 2 decades later?
I do not knock Ben Aronovich at all, because I think some of his I think Remembrance of the Daleks, from a point of view of where Doctor Who was at that time, and to kick off the second season by saying, look, all the previous 10 years where we're prattling about and all this, that and the other, we're not going to do that anymore. We're going to actually try and do some serious science fiction. I've got a lot of time for him, actually, and I think it was a beautifully written piece.
Oh, there we are.
Sorry, if you disagree with me, Richard,
no.
Please.
No. I there was nothing to add to that. I agree. Yes.
I think you guys have bonded. It's been fantastic. I feel as though I've been present at the birth of a whole new life form here. Parsec meets SFX. Quick plug, of course, for some of the other subsidiary publications that are available, as well as, of course, SFX 248. Only 2 issues to go before the big one. We can't let you go with that. Edition 250, a quarter of a millennia, and the poll is closed.
Tragically. It has.
Yes.
It has.
Never mind.
All the votes are in.
The votes are in. Do we get any sneak preview? No, we couldn't possibly ask you for that. Yes, the official 250 greatest moments in sci-fi.
Oh, wow.
Yep. The definitive list, no less. You know, a long time ago, 1995, in a galaxy far, far away, Barth, SFX was launched. I was there. Well, I wasn't in Bath, but I was actually in Hull. But I still got the first edition. Astute readers will have spotted that SFX's 250th edition is rapidly approaching. To celebrate this milestone issue, we're compiling the definitive list of the 250 greatest moments in science fiction, fantasy, and horror.
Oh, yeah. Wow, what a list that will be.
Which ones have I made the genre great? What planet-blasting, chest-bursting, rib-tickling, bone-crunching, hyperspace-jumping, trouser-soiling moments? fantastic. Do we get a little... Are there any surprises? Can I say that? Are there any surprises, Richard?
There are a few. I mean, if I can tease that there are moments from Star Wars, Star Trek and Doctor Who in there.
Oh, good. That's what we like to see. Hooray.
Firefly, perhaps?
There's probably something from Firefly. Yeah.
Still hanging on in the 17 episodes.
Well, I mean, it's got the one of the most passionate fan bases out there.
It does. So I was speaking to somebody the other day who's a recent academic that's just joined us at the home of Siren FM at the University of Lincoln, who says she doesn't like Firefly because she maintains it doesn't take it seriously. For the same reason, she could never really get to the Once More With Feeling episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. But she loves Stargate and Babylon 5. That's Muzno Rahman.
I tell you what, I sadly didn't get a chance to vote.
If you buy the magazine on a monthly basis...
I know, and I will do now, I promise. And you can test my knowledge next time we talk to you, Richard.
Hell of a way to get Richard just to flog the magazine.
Yeah,
honestly.
No, I will do now, because it's the least I can do, because I like Richard. He sounds like a nice chap. I'll buy it just to keep him happy. But if I'd have had a choice, Richard, and this is straight off the top of my head, what I would have voted for is that closing scene of Blake 7.
Yeah, that might just be in there.
Oh, that's a tease. Yes. I'll have to buy the magazine and find out.
Clearly.
I'll be writing you a letter. Dear sir.
He might end up in the We Have Also Heard From box. Which I always think is a wonderful little line from that.
Yeah.
So many goodies. Richard, thank you for joining us today. As I say, a slightly extended version, because it's a sort of special science fiction themed show, Parsec, as you might have gathered.
Yes.
Normally when you join us, Richard, we normally have to spend about 4 or 5 minutes explaining to mundanes, i.e. non-followers of science fiction,
me,
why it's such a fantastic theme, etc. And then we get on to various other things, and we get comments like, "Ooh, I like the paper. It feels like a good magazine," and other slightly strangely odd scenarios. But the other thing we need to plug is some of the subsidiaries. Comic Heroes, of course, is available as well, and you've also got the Comic Heroes magazine that is released on a weekly basis via the web and iTunes. Ooh. I believe.
Yep, Comic Review, a weekly digital mag, catch you up with all the hottest comic releases. So lots of reviews there. That's out. And also, we have a brand new X-Men special to tie in with Days of Future Past.
Hey,
magic.
Just come out
edition
as well.
16 now on sale, a mere 99p, featuring Dave Golder, Manchester City supporting lad who has indeed been at the University of Lincoln. And actually, way back in the early start of the 21st century, we put together a panel with Dave Golder, Guy Haley, Robert Rankin and MJ Simpson. There's some blasts on the past, aren't there, Richard? MJ Simpson, Guy Haley, Robert Rankin and Dave Golder. I think he's still recovering there personally, but there we are.
Richard, so for those people, because we do, we're trying to attract those people that don't normally buy the science fiction sort of magazines, and to get into it, and just to, just to say to them, look, don't be snobby about this. This is, if Postman Pat the Movie can do it, you can. So, for the people, how much is a magazine? How often is it out?
It's £4.99, and it's out every 4 weeks.
And I assume you can get subscription
you
deals
can get subscriptions
for birthdays
as well.
And all that.
You can indeed. So you can get a year, and you get obviously save a lot of money if you get it on subscription.
The world's number one sci-fi mag, not just the world's hashtag one, but the world's number one.
Oh, yeah.
Sci-fi mag.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Definitely.
Richard Edwards, we salute you. Take care now.
Thanks very much.
Richard. Pleasure talking to you.
Bye.
wonder if you've actually got the connection.
Bit of a tricky one, isn't it?
Sleeping Satellite, Tasman Archer, of course. Was it Tamsin or Tamsin?
Tasman. Yeah. Number one in October 1992.
There we are. There's the time machine. And To the Moon and Back, Savage Garden there.
Yes.
And there is a theme brought to you courtesy of the fabulous show that is Parsec on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio station. And you're listening to the aforementioned Parsec with Dave Milling and Alex Lefduke. No weather because it's a pre-record. There we are, you see. And you might be listening to it as a podcast, and we could say it's glorious sunshine and you could be in the middle of a downpour and it would be just irritating.
Or you could be in the middle of a traffic jam and we said there's no cars on the road.
You could be going to the moon and back and suddenly the spaceship comes up.
Yeah,
bang. Incident. Moving on. Exciting times because Parsec is going on the road.
Are we going out of the ship, are we going into the space
are we going to hyperspace, are we going into different dimensions, all of those, but specifically on the road to the Ritz.
Well, I'm gonna have to have me jabs,
putting on the glitz, going to the Ritz.
Absolutely. I'm so excited. I went there for the first time the other Friday. They had, obviously I've mentioned it, we had a prelude to it, Peter Davison evening. And it's the first time I had been to the Ritz since I saw Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
It's always better in the original Klingon.
Absolutely.
Shakespeare, that is.
Yes, definitely. So I went to see that there, and it was fantastic. Because I sort of, because we went in the, or it would be the upper circle then, and... I remember, so sitting around the same sort of area, and they've created a stage, and they've got lots of science fiction memorabilia. There's a Cyberman walking around. They've now got, from one of the film museums, have donated part of the Death Star set to the Ritz, which is fantastically... It's still fantastic after all these years.
J.J. Abrams know about this?
Probably not.
He might be on the next transatlantic lane. It's like, hello.
Can I have it? Yeah. You know, they've done it up. They've got...
Could be a budget.
Absolutely. They've got such a good thing going on there, Alex. They've got memorabilia. They're making their own props to sell. There's police box sort of door frame
and
things.
Not only will Sylvester McCoy be there in July,
I know,
but Parsec will be coming live as well from the location.
I know.
We'll do a location report and we'll do a full show. And listen, it's going to be free, I think. We could charge, I suppose, but no, perhaps not. No, we won't. Anyway, it's just a thought there. monetarization of Parsec. If you've got any galactic groats you'd like to send our way, how can they get in touch with us, Dave?
Twitter at Parsec_SIG. You can also email us, studio@sirenonline.co.uk, with Parsec in the subject field, and that should work its way to us via the electronic ether.
The time machine, the guardian on the edge of the time machine. Guardian of the edge of forever. Happy Sunday if you're listening to this on a Sunday. If it's any other day and it's a podcast that you're listening to, well, just be happy.
But yes, as Pharrell Williams would say.
23rd of August is when WhoCon 2014
is there. I'm on holiday.
You might also, as you're on holiday, miss out on Worldcon because we'll be covering that as well.
Oh, wow. I'm upset now.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above and on a magic night. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love?
This is Siren FM.
The Rock Train. Leaving the station every other Thursday, 8 till 10, bringing you the best local and international bands from the world of rock and metal. The Rock Train. No tracks are too heavy.
The Midweek Drive on Siren FM 107.3.
Are you there?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Who We Are.
Coffee House Hermits from Lincoln, England. We're all travellers in space and time.
With strange characters.
And it's the one with the nose.
I absolutely love her.
And surprises galore.
A free concert. Think of it as being sung to by Elvis Presley.
Unusual discussion topics.
Why would you want to give every child a water pistol? It was a bit like choosing between kittens and babies.
That will make your ribs soul.
You have really done your homework.
That's what we call show business.
Join the Midweek Drive team every Wednesday from 5 till 7 on Siren FM 107.3.
Of course, I could refer to the Midweek Drive as like Parsec Extra, really.
Yes, it is, really. Yeah, it's
a bonus, you know, because as we say, we get the various SF 59.
It's a special feature, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, absolutely. And Graham Harp will be back with us fairly shortly. Graham will be hopefully joining us for one of our next Parsecs.
Oh, I love Graham. He's such a lovely man.
BAFTA award-winning director of a whole heap of other goodies. He's currently wrapped up a fairly long stint on Casualty and Holby City, but his SF credentials are flawless because, of course, he's involved with both classic and new Doctor Who and Star Cops and a whole heap of other goodies as well.
So. Well, some nurses and doctors I know, my sister's a senior sister in a special baby ward, and I've got a good friend who's also a nurse, and some they would actually claim that indeed Holby City and Casualty are indeed science fiction.
Yeah, there you are. Eric Sanderson wakes up in a place he doesn't recognise, unable to remember who he is. All he has left are journal entries recalling Cleo, a perfect love, now gone. So begins a thrilling adventure that will send Eric and his cynical cat, Ian, on a search for the Ludovician, the force that is threatening his life, and Dr. Trey Fedoras, the only man who knows its secrets. Without giving spoilers away, because I appreciate you're just about to actually work through this text, Dave, and do your homework, the Rorschach texts... I was initially a little bit sceptical because I thought, well, you know, we'll see where we actually go. I know it was Paul Terry who recommended the whole thing, and it has a wonderful quote from Jorge Luis Borges to start off with chapter one. Some limited and waning memory of Herbert Ashe, an engineer of the Southern Railways, persists in the hotel at Adrog amongst the effusive honeysuckles and in the illusory depths of the mirrors. And I'm thinking, oh, it's not going to be one of those authors who's getting his angst out through working through a kind of postmodern sort of issue. But it's extraordinarily good.
Fantastic.
And I can understand why Stephen Hall was indeed nominated as Best Young British Novelist. In fact, won Best Young British Novelist last year, 2013. He's one of Granta's Best Young British Novelists. Initially I think I was thinking, is it a young adult? No, it's not a young adult text. I think you kind of need to experience a bit of life to experience the system. And you might find, Dave, it's a bit like... Neuromancer.
So, okay, I don't mind.
Except it doesn't have computers in it as such. It really plays around with, instead of binary digits, it's like the word. It's the motion of the word, the memes, the way things change around in the mind, and it plays around quite a lot with respect to that. With, you know, quite sharp. And it also, in terms of the illustrations, you've got a range of things. For instance, we launched the second section, chapter two, with Raymond Carver's line, "At night, the salmon move out from the river and into the town." Which you think, what? What's going on, etc. But those sort of things which are dropped into chapter scenarios, somewhere down below, my eyes flicker in dream sleep. You can even see the shark. If you move the face, you can see the shark moving through the actual page. It's a flickery shark sort of thing, which takes a good 40 pages of the book, actually, in terms of we can actually see the shark move, which is fantastic. So there we are, the raw shark texts. There is a play on Rorschach, as in the psychological experiment, the inkblot test. You can see that from the cover, can't you? Mm-hmm. You can see. What do you think when you see that? What do you think of when you see the Rorschach text? Or indeed the character from Watchmen, who of course is called Rorschach because it's what you see in the shape and the face. So the play's on that, but very good. And I think it probably has been optioned. We should really have asked our contributor from SFX magazine. He'd probably know from that. But interesting looking at some of the lines that we've had here. The Daily Express, always known for their weather forecasts. There we are.
Very accurate.
Leaves you breathless. Vogue magazine, filled with surreal twists. Matt Haig, of course, from the Lincoln Inspired Festival. Matt was actually on stage with Jill Hart in discussion about his text, The Humans, and a whole heap of other goodies. In fact, to the extent I will purchase a Matt Haig book, because it's really quite interesting in his line. A fast, sharp-toothed, see what he did there, Matt, work of genius, an instant classic. And then a couple of other areas.
I'll invite Matt down when I need a series of puns writing.
Time Out, A Cult in the Making, The Sunday Times, Clever, Exciting, Funny and Moving, and Esquire magazine, an absurdly confident and intriguing debut. Yes, Move Over, Damien Hirst.
Well, it's ordered. It'll be here tomorrow.
There we are. So by the time we're up to Parsec Volume 5,
we can have a proper discussion
of
about
the Rorschach text.
Yes.
Unless you have another.
No, it's going to be done.
William Gibson moment.
No. I will not have another William Gibson moment. I just found that too hard. I think I was scarred by the Matrix movies. I think that was it.
Anne Leckie's Ancillary Justice was Richard Edwards' recommendation. I think I'll look forward to actually accessing that
Ancillary
one.
Justice. I'll buy that as well.
Yeah, well, there we are. See, because we don't just do the movies
or
the video games, which we haven't done any video games this time, right?
No.
Or the radio shows or the conventions. We do a kind of flavour, a kind of smorgasbord
a
of sci-fi.
Song.
Super song and smorgasbord of sci-fi works our way through that. We haven't talked about Orphan Black, which is doing extraordinarily well these days. 75 years of Batman, which of course we're celebrating, and so on. And in terms of movies, will you be checking out, or have you already checked out, Godzilla and X-Men: Days of Future Past?
I want to take the wife to one next week, and we I was going to take Godzilla, but that reminds me too much of my mother-in-law. Love you, really. Sorry. I'm not sure if it's got Godzuki in, so
it doesn't.
Oh, well, no, that's me not there. So it'll be probably the X-Men, because I remember seeing the first one, and then I've not seen many in between. But Patrick Stewart's in, so it's got to be good.
And Michael Fassbender, and of course James McAvoy.
Ian McKellen as well.
And Jennifer Lawrence, blonde, no doubt. Or blue, depending on her mystique character. Yes, back to Karen Gillan again. Fantastic.
But yes.
We were plugging a couple of other Siren shows. Of course, there's lots of exciting stuff on Siren 107.3 FM, but there are other areas where the permeation that we set out here in terms of setting that science fiction thing is rolling out quite nicely, because Nick, of course, puts together a fairly geeky zone thing that works together.
Yeah.
We have
the zombie program, or the video game program.
That's right. Yes, exactly. So it's all there. Yeah.
We started it, really.
We don't want to get too complex about the battle. But we're not territorial, but we have better guests than most shows.
We do have the best guests.
Let's be honest.
Yeah. And I did meet a very good guest as well. I met obviously Peter Davison, and unfortunately Alex, I was for the first time in my life
you didn't
ever
get to do a station ident saying you're listening to
I didn't really, because I was too starstruck. Right. And for my first time in my life, I've DJed for Tony Blackburn, I've met plenty of celebrities in my life, I've had a good laugh with Graham Harper in the studio, who I admire immensely. But Peter Davison was the first doctor I ever saw, really paid notice.
You have to change your clothes.
I have. I have a photo which I will show you as well, which
I've
is very
seen
amusing.
It. Yes.
I think, oh, good, yes.
On Facebook.
Yes.
Public, really. Debbie Wilson liked it.
I know she did.
Almost as much as people like
her with Nicholas Parsons.
Another Who connection, of course.
Exactly.
Debbie Wilson's never been in Who.
No.
Nicholas Parsons has.
He has. He was very good.
Curse of Fenric.
He was very good. But anyway, I went up to Peter Davison. I thought, you're going to have to be cool, Dave. Be cool. Hello, Peter. I really like your work.
Yeah.
And he just grinned and he went, nice to meet you. So then I thought,
right. Did you not say, I really fancy your daughter. Why did she marry David Tennant?
No, but I think that goes beyond saying. But anyway, and then for the photo opportunity.
Georgia is the doctor's daughter.
And his wife, which is a bit odd. But
Back to the Future.
And I did for the photo.
Only 2 minutes to go, Dave.
It's okay. I did for the photo. I rounded it up quite nicely. I thought, I've got to be cool now. I've got to be myself. None of this fandom thing. Because he went, nice to meet you, and in a very sort of get out of my way. So I went in
almost
there.
Almost Colin Baker-esque. Yeah. The Great Unwashed.
I went in there and I said, right, I really admired you in The Last Detective. Any chance you can do the old police person pose? And I'll do a smug one. So there I was directing Peter Davison. I felt like Graham Harper, almost. And so we had the photo, and I laughed. And this is how I know an actor knows their work, okay? The ultimate test. I said, you can't get The Last Detective on DVD. And he went, oh, you can get it region one from Amazon. It's about 40 quid.
There you are.
There's an actor that knows his work.
Exactly. So I trust you've ordered several. That has brought us to the end of Parsec Volume 4. Thanks to Richard Edwards for joining us and being our special guest for this particular edition.
He was really good.
All our guests are really
They
good.
Are fantastic.
You've been listening to Dave Milling and Alex Left for Parsec. More great stuff coming up from Siren. But we haven't revealed the secret of what the connection has been. Of course, the tunes were, Dave...
All about the moon.
Sleeping satellite? Yes, satellite in orbit around the moon.
Did we fly to the moon too soon?
We had Moon Dance by, of course...
Van Morrison.
Exactly, the two lines about Van Morrison. There are the world is split into two people, those who like Van Morrison and those who've met him. Which is interesting. Just a sort of Peter Davison approach there. It's there still. Of course, we had... what other moon tracks did we actually have?
Savage Garden to the moon,
and back. And we're wrapping up with Mike Oldfield, so it's clearly the moon thing. So if you got the moon before we even released the sort of answer, well done. Congratulations. You're clearly a member of the human race who will go far. Splendid. Well done. Say bye-bye, Dave.
Bye-bye, Dave.